Well, of course, we've looked at the bushfire devastation in Victoria and just asked ourselves, well, what can you do in the face of such devastation? Well, one of the questions being asked is, if people want to rebuild in those bushfire-prone areas, should they just build the same old houses? There are obviously some houses that withstood the flames. Was it because of their design, just good luck, or perhaps more clearing? But I guess the question can be asked. When we look at Australia's climate generally, we've got extremes of cold and heat. We've got severe winds in cyclone-prone areas. We've got the bushfires. We've got lots of environmental challenges, I suppose you could say. So are the houses that we build today really adequate to cope? Well, let's talk to architect and part-time Granite Belt resident David Cox from Cox Architects. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Jenny, and good morning, listeners.
Now, David, I understand that for quite some time now you've been investigating this idea of building homes that are more suited to environmental factors such as fire, and you say now that you're just months away from completing the construction of the country's first fireproof home.
We're nearing this completion of a project that started in 2004, but the history of fire research by my company goes back to the early 80s, mm-hmm. when we were conducting mainly research work in dealing with industrial and commercial buildings.
So is it possible to build something that is fireproof?
Oh, we tend not to use the word fireproof. I tend to use the word highly fire resistant.
Right.
No one wants to light up the whole countryside to try to demonstrate a principle. But using the technology we've got today, we can vastly improve the resistance of buildings in bushfire areas. And that's what we set out to do on this project.
Because it seems to me that sometimes it doesn't need a big fire to actually create a situation where a house does catch fire. I mean, obviously in Victoria, they were extreme conditions. Everybody's saying, look, it was an absolutely horrendous situation. But homes have been burnt in much less severe fires, I'd suggest. So what makes your home fire resistant?
Jenny, well, I better go back a little bit further when we started this work, which was in the early 80s, and that was the commercial work that I undertook. And that's, I'm speaking on behalf of my architectural company, Cox Architects. We initially started the commercial work to try and improve the fire-resistant safety of commercial buildings. And when I started the bushfire-resistant project in 2004, I found that most of those systems was not suitable. So it was really, had to change the concept totally to, instead of trying to protect people trying to get out of buildings, we were trying to protect people from the ravages of fire getting into buildings. So it was a different concept. And what it led to was a completely new construction system, because the normal construction systems and the standard homes that we're building, the normal stud frame, truss roof little homes, simply will not withstand bushfires, and they are simply not suitable in those areas. You've really go back to tours on every single detail and create a completely new design to withstand that sort of area.
Okay, now, I did ask you off air yesterday when we organised this interview, you know, what materials are you using? And you said, well, I'm really not at liberty to say because of commercial interests and patents and all the rest of it. But from my understanding is that you've got specific materials involved and also the design. So it's a combination. It's not just a case of, well, you know, stick to the old design and whack up something that's some material or sheeting that's fireproof. It's a combination of the two.
That's exactly it, Jenny. It's a composite of a number of materials. We've used a lot of materials. But it's the way all these materials link together that produces your protection. To give you a guide, look, all materials we've used are inert. None of them are combustible. And none give off noxious fumes, except for some minor electrical components which are well protected.
Right. So, David, from here now, you say you've sort of, you know, getting to the end of this project, and we're, I've seen photos on your website of the home that you've built. So are you getting interest from people who say, well, look, this is the greatest thing, let's take this idea on and sell it to, you know, perhaps people in Victoria now who are looking at rebuilding?
Yes, look, there's a huge interest at the moment, but if I can backtrack a little bit, Jenny, when I started this research in 2004, really no one was interested. I couldn't get any interested parties to even join with us in this research or even develop it further. And yet it seemed crazy that each year people were building the normal little buildings in these areas, and every year they get burnt out again and they go back again, and it just seems madness. And so we've been plugging away all these years trying to come up with a system that works, which it does, and it's only in the last couple of weeks that people have taken a great interest in it.
So what would you like to see, David, that the whole building code is perhaps, you know, turned on its ear and we really say, well, righto, let's scrub all that and start again, perhaps with something like you've designed?
Yes, well, we've come up with a solution that works, but I'd like to broaden the argument. We might not have time to do this in this interview, but there is a community cost. For every failure you have in the bush where a building is burnt out, there is a cost to the community, either indirectly or directly.
Mm.
And this is a broader issue, but if somehow we can get the message through to the people that are our governments that if we're going down a dead end at the moment, we're creating liabilities by allowing people to build inappropriate housing in these areas. We should be focusing our efforts and our money and our resources into developing assets in the future, not liability.
For sure.
To do that, we've got to completely change the way we've been building.
Can I ask one final question? As you talk about cost, this home that you've developed, obviously, you know, sometimes when things come out initially, they are more expensive, but to, say, rebuild according to your designs and specifications, is that going to be a lot more expensive than what is currently available?
Well, with the cost of the building we've done, by the way, the building's suitable not only for residences, it's also suitable for small community uses like police stations, schools. That's so it's a multi-purpose building, but its costs are comparable with commercial and industrial costs. Those costs are more than residential costs because it's a higher standard of quality of building. But if I'd look at the overall cost, if there is a cost to the community if you allow non-appropriate houses to be put back in those areas, and if you add the on cost of when you rebuild them, and the cost of the infrastructure that's lost, if you add all those costs, we think it's going to be more economical to build them at a higher quality.
Okay, fair enough. Interesting, and we'll see where your project leads. Thank you very much for your time this morning, David.
Thank you very much, Jenny.
Thank you. And that's David Cox. Says he's only months away from the final completion of the country's first fireproof home. It's on the Granite Belt. And if you do want to look at it, just go online to coxarchitects.com.au and you'll see a photo of the home. So www.coxarchitects.com.au. Thank you to David for telling us a little bit about it. And of course, we can't explain exactly what the house is all about or made from, because that's patented information. It's 26 minutes past 7. This is ABC Summer.